Sunday before last. I'm going to give a qualification to all this, okay? And yes, and I'm going to admit to put it a little bit in perspective, maybe for my sake, but also that you'll also have a perspective of prayer. Brother Ward had contacted me 2 weeks ago, I guess, at this point, to speak to you briefly in introduction, and then we had to go to Mexico, and so I tried to gracefully bow out of that, and in that communication that we had, I was asking regarding this Sunday. He received it as, oh, you're volunteering for this Sunday. I didn't realize that. So my notes on paper are the rough draft of a rough draft, and not of what I originally, the text that I was wanting to study and hopefully by God's blessing be able to say something beneficial about. What that caused me to do was to reflect upon this very act right here. And God willing, I'm going to make a few comments and from what few scattered notes I had made at that time regarding that. And that's in addressing people about things that matter, which is the Word of God. And about the well-being of our soul. In Hebrews 17, there is an injunction to the minister of God, actually to the saints, reminding them and explaining to them that they that do minister the word to them and that are their pastors, their overseers, and they watch for your soul as one that must give account or an account. Now that word, if I remember correctly, that word account actually means a recorded tablet, a recording, an actual account that they make to their master and their overseer, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tabulated, if you will, recording that they are responsible for making to the Lord himself of their overseeing and their handling of his flock to which they have been given charge. And that caused me to realize the importance of when we open our mouths and think thoughts, and we lead our lives, we live our lives, what kind of message and what kind of teaching and instruction that we're giving to one another in that regard. You know, as you read through the Bible, you can pick up on a lot of, well, why did this patriarch act that way? And why did God respond in a manner that no way in the world would we have responded that way? For instance, Abraham and Sarah and his journey to where God, to that promised land that he would multiply. During that trip, there was an occasion, more than one, but there was one particular occasion where he feared for his life because his wife was so comely of appearance, and that he didn't want the king, the authority of that land, to kill him. Okay? And so he said, "You're my sister." And therefore, the king gave flirtation or whatever, presumed upon that. And Abraham deceived that man, didn't he? But what happened there? The king was still held guilty in the courts of heaven for handling one of God's people in a manner that he ought not. We can think of Jacob and Esau. Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright for a meager portion of pot porridge, or pottage, food. He tricked him out of that. He deceived him. And yet, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. He basically did the same thing when his group, all that he owned, his servants, were meeting Esau, and he sent different troops with victuals to kind of mollify Esau so that he wouldn't, in Jacob's mind, that he would, so that he would not attack him, right? And take everything that he owned from him. And so he was playing a strategy there, but kind of not letting the right hand know what the left hand was going to do in that case. And there are several other instances down through. Peter always, Peter so many times put his foot in his mouth and didn't deal rightfully with the people of God. Job, although he was the individual on the face of the earth that did right in the face of God and eschewed evil like no one else had, according to God himself, yet he had much to learn, and he didn't. He had a bad attitude toward God in that story. Yet at the end of the story, the Lord says to those three miserable comforters of his that go to Job and have him sacrifice for you because you did not say the thing which was right about what? Concerning me. Concerning God. God's people have always been the lower parts of the earth that were the apple of his eye. Even when he lived or existed, and speaking as a man, but even when God the Father and God the Son existed together in holy, perfect, eternal, sublime unity and perfection for an eternal past. And again, that's not even right perspective for that. But before anything was besides the Godhead, they lived together and needed nothing but themselves. But yet the humanity and the lower parts of the earth, the sons of men, were always in the heart and the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, his special people. Not because we're special, but because he gave a special rendering to them and love for their sake. Proverbs 23:1 says that when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Now I'm going to take a lesson a little bit out of context of that. And that's something that you have to be very careful to do with the Word of God, okay? There are lessons you can get from different verses of Scripture, but we got to make sure that that's the lesson that that verse of Scripture is actually teaching. But this is about a supreme authority, an individual or a position that has been given supreme authority. And it says, when you sit down to indulge with that individual of a higher and supreme authority to do something and engage with them, and this has to do with eating, put a knife to your throat. Be careful what you do, in other words, not to upset them, not to tread where you ought not to tread on their grounds of authority and supremacy and ownership of what they have. And that's basically the thought that I was having before I even had started the verses, studying the verse of Scripture that you and I when the man of God, of God's choosing, comes before his people to tell them to say the thing that is right concerning God to their minds and their hearts for their life's sake and the growth of grace for their souls, and that they might be able to do good to one another and think more highly of one another than they do themselves, so that they might be able to prepare a table for their enemies even, and praise and glorify and honor God as they ought to. This delivery right here has to be correct, sincere, and very humbly given when they preach the gospel to the saints. We should always consider the fact that we are always constantly on a pedestal up here. You know, we've always heard in growing up, we tell the older children about the younger children, be careful what you do and what you say, because they're watching. Well, it really doesn't stop there. Adults do the same thing in a different way, in a different manner, don't we? And saints of God, some who are more easily than others, but it doesn't matter. We're all imperfect, and we're all in need of instruction, so we're looking for that. And how I live before you, how I conduct myself, the verse of scripture you and I were talking about very briefly. In the multitude of words, there lacketh not what? Sin. Missing the point. Making an error. The more there is of something, the greater the risk, right? Okay, so the more there is in communication, in doing, whether and it doesn't just, and the rest of that verse says, he that refraineth from his lips is wise. Now, this isn't saying that we just never say anything. Stop, right? Peter preached all night long one time, right? And some poor old fellow fell out of the loft and they thought he was dead. That seems sorry. We're to speak often one to another of the things, the good things that the Lord's done for us. But a perpetual, habitual habit and attitude of always having to say and to speak is something we have to be very careful about, okay? Because we know in part, okay? We see through a glass darkly. We don't have all wisdom. We keep a short bank account of grace every day that we live, whether we know it or not. We need grace for grace. We need to wake up every single morning asking God for more help and grace and teaching from the internal man so that our external man might be able to perform the duties as he ought to. So not only to the saints, but also to all creation. We are as a light that is in a position or a posture that is easily seen. It's on a hill, okay? Shouldn't be under a basket, but the fact is that we are on a hill. If, by God's grace, we have been quickened and been given a spiritual nature to know spiritual things and have spiritual understanding, we know more than any other type of knowledge that's available on this earth. Spiritual understanding and knowledge and perspective is higher and is supreme and superior to any other type. We see things in the proper perspective. And we view it correctly, and we come to the right conclusions about that. Ultimately, to the fact that we have to give God the praise for all things, okay? Every good and perfect thing is coming from our Father of lights. Everything tends itself to what would Jesus do? I used not to like that when it first came out. That was another bumper sticker, okay? Just another bumper sticker that I was supposed to have to be able to make people know that I was a Christian. It's so valid. What would the Lord Jesus Christ do in every single case that we live? And if we're not mimicking that, if we're not imitating that in the way that it ought to be with the right heart, then we haven't been like Christ, and we're not being Christian-like. All right. We're not being Christ-like. We need to, and as we receive the word, as the noble Bereans did, in their noble practice of being, of receiving that preached word and that studied word and that presented dialogue of the gospel with all readiness of heart, they had prepared their heart in prayer and practice and in studying the word of God. And what a high and noble act that is. That's the same matter that we have to be prepared in communicating with one another also, especially in trying to teach the saints of God. We don't own ourselves, for he is our God, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. If God is truly our God, we are his people. Well, we're not just his people, but we are the sheep of his pasture. Being the sheep of his pasture also indicates an ownership. It's his pasture. It's his area. It's his domain of which we have been owned and possessed by him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that had made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are not ourselves. We don't own ourselves. We can't claim to do what we want to do anytime we want to do it. I just almost seethe every time I hear the comments, and I know it's about making effort, but it still presents the wrong idea that I can do what I want to do, or you can do whatever you want to do as long as you try hard enough. You can have what you want to have, you can be what you want to be, and you can do what you want to do. All you got to do is just reach for the stars. That is not true. We come in crippled. We're born in sin. We're tainted with depravity, and if we're going to accomplish anything that ought to be accomplished and that can be accomplished to its highest and to its best, it's going to be by the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's going to be by the help of the courts of heaven. It's going to be under divine underpinning that we're able to establish anything good and right, effective and profitable. Not only in God's honor, but to mankind in general in this world. So we can't just reach down in our gut and by great labor and intense effort accomplish whatever heights that we want to accomplish. God raises up one and sets down another. Promotion comes neither from the east or the west or north or the south, but by the Lord God Almighty. That's even in practical manners, believe it or not. And that's who we need to trust in. So we have to always be mindful that when we deal, this is culmination. I'm going to get out of here. My whole idea and thought here is that we are trying to deal with, to help. We're here before God's chosen people, vessels of grace. And even if we're not in a pulpit communicating and dialoguing and communing with them, at any time that we open our mouths, we need to be prepared in prayer and supplication and studying the Word of God that we can say good things to one another, and that we realize as we perceive one another, as we pray for one another, as we make conclusions about one another, as we prepare to present something to one another, that it is God's sheep, the sheep of his pasture. He owns them. He owns their domain in which they reside. And so we deal with them very carefully, very cautiously, and we think of them and look at them as a soul and not just a flesh, as an eternal soul. And pitifully, with all mankind, even those to whom we might regard conflictory to us, very distasteful to us, completely deranged of the way that we think and believe and feel, in opposition to us in every manner whatsoever, that individual, as lost as they might be, is still a soul. I don't know all the names written in the handbook, in the book of life. I don't know that. I know they're fruits, but there's still a spirit and a soul in that body. And that's exactly the way I need to be handling that, as tenderly and carefully as we possibly can. So from that perspective, then that's how Brother Ward, when he comes up here, he's looking at souls. He's looking at souls that have that are in a body of flesh, and they're living a life, and they're doing this and that and the other. But he is preparing, and we do the same thing. When we go to commune in communication with one another, and let us pray that we can do that just as though we were preaching the gospel to them, because in a very good sense and manner, we definitely are. Amen.